Hey, everybody. Dan, the Charlie Kirk Show. Donald Trump Jr. joins us. And Dan Bishop to talk free speech and my unedited thoughts on Mike Pence. You can email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and go get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Congressman Dan Bishop. Congressman, welcome to the program. We booked you to discuss your free speech bill, which I want to get to. But first, I just want to get your reaction. Trump indictment, Department of Justice, Jack Smith. How is the House Republican Conference going to respond to this continual Stalinistic approach from our government?
So, Charlie, that is the news worth talking about. And you know me well enough to know how I'd like to respond to it. And this is something the American people need to understand, and the leadership of the Republican Party need to continually be questioned about. We could, in the spending bills being prepared right now for the September 30 fiscal year deadline, we could say we're not passing anything unless and until you defund Jack Smith's special counsel office that is prosecuting this gross attack on the First Amendment of the Constitution. Leave aside whatever you think about Donald Trump one way or the other, this is the consummation, the brazen consummation of what we've seen and what's been called by that district judge, United States district judge in Louisiana, as the worst attack on free speech in the history of the United States, talking about the censorship with social media across the federal enterprise. Well, that's nothing compared to this. It is 45 pages of statements where Donald Trump said something about the election. Somebody who was in official position said something else. Therefore, Donald Trump was obliged to shut up and sit down and say nothing else about the election. And they've turned that into a crime, three crimes. I've never seen anything like it. And Republicans, I just want to make this clear. Republicans in the House could stop this right away. And they will. And, you know, I've seen House Republican colleagues who say, gosh, we can't even take any of the money back from the FBI for their headquarters that will be larger than the Pentagon. I can't imagine what those people will say about what I've just suggested, but we could stop it
now. So, I mean, let's just get straight to it. So we could defund, we could stop it. Why won't we?
Because folks will say, well, we've got to fund the government. We've got to give the increase to the military that's necessary to keep the military strong, and the soldiers' pay needs to get done. We can't have the Washington Monument closed. I mean, I don't want to make light of it because they're very significant problems. And we have only one chamber of the United States Congress. We don't have the White House. So you'd have to force your way through this. But it would take serious determination. I just believe that when the interference that the FBI and the DOJ have now run in every election in recent memory comes to the point that they're trying to criminalize obviously protected free speech of the most recently elected president of the United States, and, oh, by the way, the leading candidate for the one major party for the next election, it is time to say enough is enough. And to me, it rises to the top of a very long list of priorities.
Yeah, it's puzzling and really frustrating. So, Congressman, tell us about your free speech bill as well. It ties into the indictment, which itself is a criminalization of wrong think.
It's exactly what the topic was that in terms of the bill I've got. And what it does is there's long been a bill or a statute, a civil rights statute enacted right after the Civil War that allows people to bring private claims for relief, lawsuits, against state officials who violate their constitutional rights. It's not been done for federal officials who violate your rights. A couple of those have been allowed in a couple of cases, the Fourth Amendment, the Eighth Amendment, under law made by the Supreme Court over time, but not the First Amendment. And what this bill would do would put federal officials who deny First Amendment rights, who abuse First Amendment rights of private citizens, in exactly the same position. You could sue federal officials for that wrong. And that's exactly what needs to happen. Harriet Hageman of Wyoming and I have co-sponsored this bill's original sponsors. It ought to pass. Now, it ought to get through. I wouldn't put it in the same priority as what I just said about defunding the DOJ's witch hunt of President Trump, but it ought to be a priority. It could fix a lot.
Yeah, I mean, look, I totally agree. By the way, we would materially benefit from this because we were targeted by our own government, and they outsource it, right, Congressman? And they think they're being cute or tricky. And by the way, we're entertaining a very serious lawsuit. We're in our final stages of it's like tons of legal fees and all this against the Department of Homeland Security because our Twitter account was, I can't remember, is the Election Partnership Institute. They use these outsourced 501c3s.
The Election Integrity Partnership.
Yeah, there you go. Tell us more about that, Congressman.
Well, you're absolutely right. Michael Schellenberger famously dubbed it the censorship industrial complex.
Yeah, right.
I prefer to call it the censorship laundering enterprise. But all of these federal agencies, as Secretary Mayorkas used the terminology, across the federal enterprise, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure and Security Agency called CISA, the FBI's Foreign Influence Task Force, the State Department's, I can't even remember what the GEC stands for, all these three-letter agencies, all embedded themselves with social media companies directly, but more significant, allied themselves, made grants to these pseudo-academic institutions like the Stanford Internet Project, and they formed these ad hoc things. There was the Election Integrity Partnership. Then there was the Virality Project dealing with COVID. And they just picked, you know, whole narratives to be squashed on social media, and they essentially threatened social media. They did it directly, that they'd take away their Section 230 protections and so forth. They would hurt them if they didn't do what they were told. And that's what the judge in Louisiana said. His injunction's been temporarily administratively stayed by an appellate court, but he's found in a, you know, almost 200-page opinion all the facts in terms of how they deprived you and many other speakers, but also, more as importantly, every American who has a First Amendment right of access to information of all kinds of stuff, not stuff that just originated abroad, to which that constitutional right still applies, by the way, but stuff from domestic sources, including somebody important as you.
So hopefully this bill has some form of momentum. The Democrat Party seems completely uninterested in partnering with this. In fact, their whole theme right now is trying to go after what they call disinformation of misinformation. And, you know, the work that we do on campuses at Turning Point USA, we've been warning for the last half decade, hey, there's a real troubling theme amongst college kids that they can use political power against speech they don't like. Congressman, your reaction to this broader cultural issue now starts on college campuses, and now it's in the indictment. The very same thing in the indictment is, I don't like your opinions, Donald Trump. Now you have a conspiracy to defraud rights. Is that an overreach or an overestimation of what's going on here, Congressman?
No, it is exactly right. They are all thematically connected, and it is a fundamental transformation of the Democratic Party from their prior notion. So, you know, one of the oddest thing has been sitting in I'm on the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, of which this is one of the biggest topics. Jim Jordan, chairman. And we've had Robert F. Kennedy Jr., right, sitting before us testifying and attacked, vilified
in real time
by Democrats. Sure. And before that, other liberal reporters, Matt Taibbi, Michael Schellenberger, former liberals, I guess. But they were attacked and in the grossest terms. The left has decided that it is authoritarian now. It believes that there is an orthodox way of thinking. And wrong think will be punished. That's what they're saying. I believe this is a problem across the political spectrum, though. And ultimately, I don't know how we get there, but ultimately, because there's a BLM activist, for example, who the Justice Department extended their reach to in one of these plots to sort of entrap people. Have you seen, like, in the Whitmer kidnapping plot? All of this is related. There is an idea that there is an orthodoxy, the deep state, if you will, the security state, is going to punish people who believe wrongly. They're going to use the criminal law to do so. And it is as dangerous a threat as I've ever seen in my lifetime at 59 years old in this country. And I'm telling you, that, as I say, the Jack Smith indictment of Trump is the capstone mm-hmm. of what we're seeing in the Democratic Party that is authoritarian to its core at the moment.
And these people are Maoists. Congressman Bishop, great work. We have your back. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed, not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Boy, this clip has been memory-holed. Ryan, good job. Our team has done a great job. Our clipping team, you know who you are, finding this clip. You see, this indictment hinges on something that we saw out of COVID, where the Prime Minister of New Zealand said this, and I only know about this because Dennis Prager, to his credit, he talks about this like once a week on his radio program, and I love Dennis, and he's amazing, and he's terrific. So Dennis like repeats it. So it's kind of I only remember it thanks to Dennis, and so he's done a great service. Where it was seemingly an offhanded comment, but boy, it is the exact same idea toxin that is embedded in this indictment. Before I get to the Mike Pence thing, I just have to play this. I believe this is the tape. It's Cut 77, this was the Prime Minister of New Zealand. I don't know if she's still the Prime Minister or not, where she effectively says, if you do not hear it from the government, it is not true. Play Cut 77.
We will share with you the most up-to-date information daily. You can trust us as a source of that information. You can also trust the Director General of Health and the Ministry of Health. Otherwise, dismiss anything else. We will continue to be your single source of truth.
Otherwise, dismiss anything else. There's another clip where she says it even more bluntly than that, but that's the essence of it. I remember it was a different one at a press conference. That actually is fine. The true quote where she says, we'll continue to be your single source of truth. Unless you hear it from us, it is not the truth. March 19th, 2020. If you do not hear it from the government, it is not true. That's what this indictment is. This indictment makes that case. If you do not hear election claims from us, they are not true. No questioning, no disagreement, no pushback. Okay. I got to a 10 yesterday. I don't like getting to 10. It's not fun. I don't get to a 10 very often. Thankfully, the steam blew over, but I'm still pretty fired up. I expect Chuck Schumer, AOC, Pocahontas, Bernie Sanders. I expect them to do their thing. Donald Trump's a criminal. Donald Trump's criminal. Donald Trump's criminal. You know, for entertainment, I watch Morning Nika, and they have a competition how many times they can say insurrection, seditious conspiracy, traitor, threat to democracy. If that is the drinking game, you would have to have your stomach pumped. Every 20 seconds they say it.
It's a threat to democracy. I'm Eugene Robinson, and I'm talking a barely decipherable way.
We don't have an opposition party. Mike Pence comes out yesterday, and I saw this tweet, and I got blitzen mad, and I still am. Today's indictment serves as an important reminder. Anyone who puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. Mike Pence. First of all, Mr. Pence, this is an indictment, not a conviction. He is treating this indictment as if it's totally true. The same regime that lied about the Russia hoax, lied about the vaccine, lied about lockdowns, lied about the source of COVID, lied about Ukrainian situational stuff happening in Ukraine, lied about all of it. And yet we must take what they're saying as gospel. Here is what he has said in Mike Pence's own words. I will have more to say about the government's case after reviewing the indictment. the former president is entitled to the presumption of innocence. But with this indictment, his candidacy means more talk about January 6th and even more distractions, Mike Pence calls it. As Americans, his candidacy means less attention paid to Joe Biden's disastrous economic policies, afflicting millions across the United States, and the pattern of corruption with Hunter. Our country is more important than one man. Our Constitution is more important than any one man's career. On January 6th, former President Trump demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. I choose the Constitution and always will. As your president, I will not yield an inch in defending America, our people, our values, I promise you. I will do so in a consistent with my oath to the Constitution and the character and decency of the American people. We'll restore a threshold of integrity and civility in public life so we can bring real solutions to the challenges plaguing our nation. Mike Pence. Where is the opposition party? You have an out-of-control, deranged lunatic, Jack Smith, who's shaking. He's like shaking. Something wrong with that guy. And in the press conference. This guy's like a feral dog. And I got Mike Pence having to lecture us that it's Donald Trump. Lecture us that it's Donald Trump. Not the out-of-control administrative state. Not this. And here's the point, is that Mike Pence wants to be spared. Mike Pence knows that this Department of Justice is out of control. He thinks that true conservative is to surrender as long as I get book deals and I get to be controlled opposition. Mike Pence is David French conservatism, Vichy French conservatism, eat me last conservatism. Mike Pence says you can indict everybody, but don't touch me because I say acceptable stuff, but we'll never actually be totally disagreeable or challenge the real issues that are destroying America. I'm Mike Pence and I'm an honorable man. America is the first nation in history founded on the idea of a natural God-given rights and on political principles proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence of liberty, equality, and limited government. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College want you to join them in remembering our founding principles on our nation's birthday this July 4th. You can do so by taking three simple steps. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com and sign your pledge to read the Declaration on July 4th. Then read the Declaration on the 4th. Either on your own or with your family and friends. Look, I'm going to take this pledge, and I hope you will too. If we are going to save our country in its current crisis, we need to remind ourselves, our children, and our fellow citizens of the founding principles that are a source of America's greatness. When you sign your pledge today, you'll receive a free commemorative copy of the Declaration of Independence from our friends at Hillsdale College. So visit charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Check it out. Wonderful resource. Charlie for Hillsdale.com. Joining us now is a great American, Donald Trump Jr. Don, thank you for making time for us. Your reaction to your father being indicted again on federal charges, this time in Washington, D.C.
Well, Charlie, I mean, it's getting old. It's like Taco Tuesday, Indictment Tuesday. It just happens every week. And amazingly enough, Charlie, it seems to happen every week, the day after there are major Biden revelations, whether it was earlier in the summer when the FBI, shows the evidence that Joe Biden was involved, the next day there was the original Mar-a-Lago indictment. Then you had the Hunter Biden Kush plea deal, 2 weeks ago, that was a better deal than any human being would ever get in the world, plus blanket immunity for anything else he may have done in perpetuity. The next day, they add on to the Trump thing. Then you have Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's business partner and BFF, going in to testify before House Oversight. Magically, Charlie, as though we haven't noticed the pattern already, the next day, to distract from what's actually going on in the real world, the actual most corrupt president to ever sit in the Oval Office, stuff that makes Watergate seem like kindergarten, you have another Trump indictment. We're on, 4,763. I mean, we live in a banana republic, Charlie. There's no other way to talk about it. I mean, the political persecution of your enemies in a democracy, in a republic such as ours, isn't supposed to happen, and yet it's happening. And you know who's incredibly silent? Our masters in the big tech sphere, our mainstream media. They talk about the Trump indictment, not what's actually going on with people who control the nuclear codes, who have brought us to the brink of World War III with Russia, again, over money made in the Ukraine. So who knows what else they have on the Bidens that's causing us to spend not just $130 billion, but also bring us perhaps to the brink of nuclear war. That's what's going on in our country. It's a sad state of affairs, and it's pretty pathetic.
So, Don, I want to just reinforce what you're saying here. Here's the timeline. This is real stuff, and I'd love for some of these reporters to respond. June 7th, FBI releases documents to Congress alleging the Bidens took a $10 million bribe from Burisma. June 8th, Jack Smith indicts Trump and Mar-a-Lago documents. July 26th, Hunter Biden goes to court and gets rejection of the sweetheart plea deal. July 27th, Jack Smith adds more charges for Trump in the Mar-a-Lago case. July 31st, Devin Archer testifies. August 1st, Jack Smith indicts Trump again on January 6th. That's like three in a row, Don. And so what I have been most fired up about is the lack of response from Republicans. Mike Pence tweeted, I'll have your reaction to this yesterday, Don. Yesterday, Mike Pence said, today's indictment serves as an important reminder. Anyone who puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. Don, your reaction to Mike Pence.
I've always spoken highly of Mike Pence. I like them as an individual. I had not been critical of him for, plenty of things that I disagree with him on. But reading that and knowing what's going on, and he knows full well because he was part of Russia, and, the precursors to all of this, I was wrong to have thought as highly of Mike Pence.
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you, I've been more restrained than most on the Pence thing. Don, what is your reaction to the Devin Archer revelations, and then what you had to go through with the Russia collusion nonsense for a couple years?
Yeah, so just for perspective, I did 50 hours of testimony. You had the head of the House Intelligence Committee saying that I had committed treason, a crime punishable by death. So for perspective, I took a 15-20 minute meeting that everyone agrees was exactly as I stated, 50 hours of testimony for treason. I mean, that's kind of a big one, and that happened in a tiny fraction, a matter of months. There was, I'd looked at business deals with these people before. They were developers in Moscow. Remember, before we got into the world of politics, we actually built buildings. I don't know what Hunter Biden did before that other than peddle influence because his father was a career politician. There's credible paper trails, millions of dollars exchanged, corrupt regimes, whether it's China, Ukraine, Russia, money tied to human trafficking, drug trafficking, sex trafficking, whatever. Like, you can't even make up, though. It reads like it's a scene out of Narcos, and that's before you get to the Hunter Biden laptop from hell, the lies, the cover-up, the full-fledged interference by not just our mainstream media, not just big tech, but also our intelligence agencies and operatives. It seems that if Don Jr. would have done the things that Hunter Biden did, even a tiny fraction of them, he'd be in Gitmo right now, and rightfully so. The fact that there's barely even coverage of these things, that there's barely—I mean, again, this stuff makes Watergate seem like garbage, like nothing. And I remember during Russia, the Bob Woodwards of the world. This is worse than, every other day was something Trump did was worse than Watergate, even though he never did the things that they said were worse, but they, they created that narrative. Well, where are they now, Charlie? Their silence is deafening because, if you're telling me that we're on the brink of war with Russia, we're funding not only a proxy war, but a boots on the ground war in Europe, what could possibly go wrong, with a nuclear superpower that has more warheads than we do, I'd say that's bigger than Watergate. If we're making decisions and sending $130 billion, and probably a large portion of the $220 billion that the Pentagon magically cannot account for, we're a corrupt and broken regime if we don't have a mainstream media that isn't even willing to ask the questions, or Republicans who don't want to go all in because they're either a part of it or don't want to know the answers. I mean, if that's not bigger than Watergate, I don't know what is. I don't know what is, but it's happening right now. And you have a president that's sitting in there bringing us closer to the brink of war, can't get through a sentence, but, we're going to keep them in power because the Democrats have taken over every institution in our country, and they've weaponized them and politicized them, just like you see with the further indictments from Jack Smith this week, last week, the week before that, 3 weeks before that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Let's play cut 46.
It's just strange credulity that he flies to China with his son and doesn't ask once, by the way, where are you going to go in China? Are you doing business here? That he makes all these calls to these to dinners with foreign characters, and he doesn't say, who were those guys? Why were you meeting? It's just not very believable. We have to find out the full story here. I think this is shaping up to be one of the greatest corruption scandals in the history of Washington, and that is saying a lot.
Now, Jonathan Turley is a very fair-minded guy, Don. He's not MAGA by any means. For him to say that, that carries significant weight. Your reaction?
It should carry significant weight because he's 100% right. This is insanity. Honestly, there should be Democrats saying something about it. I know if it was me, they would be. But, I mean, we're making decisions that could take us to nuclear war. Mm-hmm. And they're who knows if it's tied together? Who knows if it's this? I mean, I guess it's okay if a Democrat does it. I mean, this is insanity. I legitimately feel like I'm living in the Truman Show, Charlie. I'm waiting for like a TV camera to pop out of the ceiling and find out that I'm just being punked, because it can't possibly be happening in the America that I know and love. And yet it is before our very eyes every day. So we better wake up to what's actually going on, or we're going to be in serious trouble, because we're no better than any of the banana republics we like to throw stones at proverbially about the way they run themselves. I mean, this is, the Jack Smith, the press conference yesterday, it's literally that. And honestly, the Republican rhinos that are trying to maintain and or grab power by adopting the Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Adam Schiff, January 6th Unselect Committee talking points to try to win some political capital during a primary, they're just as bad as the Democrats.
So in closing here, Don, I want to get just kind of your reaction. There have been, unfortunately, the other Republicans running for the presidency, Ron DeSantis and others, the best one has been Vivek, to his credit. They are not coming out very strong about this administrative state crusade against the top leading opponent. Can you just give us some window into the campaign? It looks like your father has more resolve, more fortitude, more fight than ever. Just give us a little bit of a picture in how your father is dealing with this and how he's more committed than ever to win the election in November of 2024.
Yeah, no, he's doing great. I spoke to him yesterday, obviously, after the news, just checking in. Sort of,
Hey, how you doing?
Normal, but, hey, how you doing? It's, you're freaking wonderful. Sorry. things are good. But honestly, I think we've just become so normalized to it. And, that's not a normal emotional response. That's not supposed to be what happens when this goes on. But I think, we all understand what's going on. We all see it. I saw, Ron DeSanctimonious yesterday with his, I will now, in the high-pitched squeal voice of his, will now take on the weaponization of government. Hey, Ron, that's weird. I remember 3 weeks ago when, you said that it wasn't really a real thing and it wasn't a priority. Now you're going to take it on. Yet another flip-flop. And with someone that I thought actually had some potential for the future of our party, it turns out, I guess, once you run for higher office, you're just bought by the, the Karl Roves of the world and your, consultants who have their other motives than, say, putting America first. So, yet another flip-flop from these guys. You just realize how sad of a state of affairs, not just for the country in general, but even within our own party. We just have a bunch of weaklings, and they're all beholden to the others and to the D.C. uniparty establishment. And, that's why they're going after Trump so hard. They want to break that. They want to make sure that not only – does Trump never get back in there because he's the only threat to the power that they hold? But they also want to make sure to pass a message to anyone in the future who might hold a similar viewpoint, who may have been successful in the real world, not just within their bureaucracy, and wants to get involved and take part in our democratic process. They want to send a message to them loud mm-hmm. and clear. Don't even think about stepping into our turf or we'll ruin you. And if you're a successful guy, you've done really well for yourself, why on earth would you even bother? They would love for that apathy to exist so they can maintain their power, because without it, they're nothing. Without it, they wouldn't be able – they'd barely be able to survive. They're good at one thing and functioning, and that's functioning in a bureaucracy. It's sort of like Anthony Fauci was never the best doctor. He was never the smartest. He was never the this, but he probably was the best bureaucrat. He figured out how to get in front of every camera. He figured out how to snake anyone
yep.
who actually had a good idea and probably take it. And create power. Turns out the guy's been wrong about everything for 40 years, and yet he was still in the top position forever. Because credibility, accountability, none of that matters. It's playing that game, and they want to make sure that no one else is willing to get in that sandbox.
Don, we have your back. Keep fighting. It's amazing how much your family has sacrificed. Check out a show on Rumble. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. If you guys love this program and you want to support this program, if we have impacted or blessed your life in any way, I want to tell you about a new thing that we are starting it up. First of all, if you have supported us at charliekirk.com/support, nothing to worry about. You guys are going to be moved on over. If you want to support us even more and say, hey, I want exclusive content, I want to talk to Charlie directly, we are standing up this amazing infrastructure. Team's been working so hard at members.charliekirk.com. Not only is it a way to support us directly outside of all of the other channels, but get this, live Q&As with me and the team, articles exclusively written by me that you won't find anywhere else, pre-show prep calls, and more. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. We love bringing our show every day, and we can't wait to bring you even more content that is just for you at the Charlie Kirk exclusive. That's members.charliekirk.com. Head to members.charliekirk.com today. Yes, there's going to be a lot of goodies, a lot of engagement, a lot of fun stuff. But even more than that, if you feel moved and compelled that our show is impacting you and impacting the world, it would mean a lot if you became a member at members.charliekirk.com. Okay, something that we laid out a couple weeks ago was how the alternate electors were going to be the attack vector against Donald Trump. This has no legal basis. This is a total fiction. But they're trying to create this quote-unquote legal conspiracy around the idea of alternate electors. Now, we saw this very clearly, and this is exactly why they had to go after the MAGA supporters, the rank-and-file MAGA supporters in Michigan. This was us on our program laying it out, Play Cut 67.
What is noteworthy here, and we'll go into the details of it, is why now? Why is this all bubbling up now? And it's obvious. The alternate elector piece is critical to be able to prove Donald Trump, quote unquote, prove Donald Trump was a seditious conspiracist. It is by no coincidence whatsoever that Donald Trump gets a letter from Jack Smith, and simultaneously the Michigan Attorney General moves on these quote-unquote alternate electors.
They're all tied together, and this is the largest part of the indictment. If you read through the indictment, it says in great detail that the core of it is the core conspirators, co-conspirators putting together alternate electors, which, by the way, alternate electors had legal precedent of being selected and chosen in the Kennedy-Nixon 1960 election. So they go after senior citizens in Michigan, first through the Michigan Attorney General, a totally captured state, by the way. Michigan is totally captured. It's really sad. And then they're able to write this indictment saying, aha, see, they worked in tandem together to overthrow the government. So they were trying to overthrow the government by sending in alternate electors? How does that work exactly? The vice president could have sent it back to the states, and the judge in 1960 who selected the alternate electors in the Hawaii controversy of Kennedy and Nixon said explicitly, if you would have not have sent those electors, it could not have been chosen. The judge said that in 1960. The 1960 election. If you had have not have sent them, we would not have been able to select them. And let me, I'm curious, if you're trying to overthrow the government, who tweets about it? Every single one of these alternate electors tweeted in real time with pictures and selfies. Here's our alternate electors. That's a rather weird way to overthrow the government. It was obviously a publicity stunt. And part of it was also like, hey, if there is irregularities, here's the electors. And there's two components of it. And John Eastman talked about it on our program. Component number one is that how these elections were conducted themselves were illegally conducted because they changed election law without going through the state legislature. So they send alternate electors saying the entire election itself might be invalidated as an illegal exercise. Long shot, but potential. The second of which, is there enough quote-unquote fraud or irregularities of ballot signatures, mass mail-in balloting, all this stuff? It was an open question. And that is the core of all of this. You live in a free society when you can ask questions, even dumb questions. Remember when you grew up, you said there's no such thing as a dumb question? We used to teach our kids that. There's no such thing as a dumb question. Now, a bad question or a wrong think question can land you in prison for 515 years. The mark of a tyranny. You know you're living in a tyrannical country when you cannot question. Soviet Union would say, oh, there's harvest. No, it's a drought. Go to jail. Go to the gulag. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.